welcome back to another episode of the How To Podcast with Luke and Ben. I am Luke Anderson. Somehow not able to function in the world of Zoom. It is our social influencer, Ben. Ben, what the hell is going on?
I'm traveling south as of this moment, and apparently we're not able to Zoom from this location. So
all right.
That's where I'm at in the world.
But when you say traveling south, you start in Salem, Oregon. If you're traveling south, how far south are you? Roseburg, Medford. You're not as far south as California. We might have to end this right now.
Not yet. Oh. So I am sitting in Roseburg.
Okay.
I'm at the Fred Meyer parking lot in Roseburg, and I am headed for San Francisco. I'm going to the Falcons versus 49ers game this weekend.
Fantastic. So, that should be a win. Yeah. Unfortunately, you guys couldn't handle the hapless Seahawks.
Easy. Hold on now. They're not my 49ers. I'm just going to the stadium. So,
oh, that's right. You're a Colts fan.
Yeah, I'm a giant Colts fan. So this is a bucket list thing for me.
Okay.
That by the time I'm basically dead, I want to have seen or visited all 32 stadiums. And this is number three. Number three. And, I think, you know, it's interesting. That's an excellent segue into what I was thinking we could talk about today, and that is how to 2022.
Okay. Well, you're failing at the end of 2021 currently.
I contest the point.
We've had seamless Zoom connections. I do a few different podcasts, and you've been like right on. We've done a couple in person during mm-hmm. COVID, and then mm-hmm. And then you have been seamless on Zoom. Usually sitting in your home studio with your mic. Now you're just sitting in mm-hmm. a car in the Fred Meyer parking lot. I just see where your priorities are for this. Like, we had this on the calendar. This wasn't, like, impromptu, like, oh, yeah. No, this was on the calendar. And you showed up right on time, so you knew that this was a thing. But your technology.
For the record, I intended to stop at, like, this was a planned event for me, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even being at this Roseburg Fred Meyer, I knew that this was where I was going to do this.
Okay.
Like, I left with this intention. I don't know why Zoom's not working. I could see and hear you fine.
Okay, if you were planning things properly, here's what you should have done.
Here we
and
go.
First of all, you tried to do a segue. I do the segues. That's my job. You stay away from those. But if you planned it out correctly, you should have called ahead to the Fred Meyers and said, hey, I'm a very influential podcaster. I am looking at getting some new equipment. Can you set me up a test studio in your home electronics department? I'll do it live from your Fred Meyers. You can be part of the podcast as a product placement. And then they just set up all the equipment, you know, and then people walk by and go, what's that guy doing? Oh, that guy's doing an award-winning podcast right now from there. They just sold out of all of their recording equipment right then and there. They'd have made a ton of money. You're now the new face of Fred Meyers. They get rid of those stupid block people that they have. And the whole world would have won. But instead, you're sitting in the parking lot. Nobody even knows you're there, except for people that listen to this podcast after it's published. And you're long gone. Now you're in Santa Clara watching two mediocre football teams play against each other for what might be a third playoff spot in the NFC.
And to this point, everything you said is accurate.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's... question for you. You said you're trying to check off all of the stadiums, all 32. You and I both have long lives ahead of us. Absolutely. You realize that at some point there will be more than 32 stadiums that you'll have to visit. Santa Clara, the Levi's Stadium is a perfect example because I've been to, I don't know, a half a dozen San Francisco 49ers games. I've not been to that stadium. So question is, do I check 49ers off my list, or now do I have to go to 33 stadiums if I'm doing that? Because I went to the old Candlestick.
Candlestick Park. I mean, I totally, like, my goal would be to see every stadium that's an active NFL franchise stadium.
Okay. So your list is going to be longer than 32 just by virtue of new stadiums being built.
Absolutely. And I accept that premise.
Here's the other question,
though. Which I'm really okay with, though, because they're all really cool, right?
Sure. But here's the other. There's also, if we're doing addition, we're also doing subtraction. do you need to see both the Chargers and the Rams play at SoFi, or do you have to see either of those teams play at SoFi? For example, the Oregon State Beavers playing this weekend at SoFi. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you're trying to hit all the stadiums, see what I'm saying? Your math is flawed.
Yeah. No, this is fair. Okay. And no, I don't think that the math is necessarily flawed, because my statement was that I wanted to see the 32 stadiums.
Yes.
And being a Colts fan, seeing the 49ers and Falcons play, I don't care about the teams. I'm going to enjoy the game because I enjoy players, right? Like, I also enjoy the skill of Kittle, right?
Sure.
Or Debo Samuel. You know, I do think that this is going to be Garoppolo's last year there, but we're not here to talk about football necessarily. I mean, we could talk about
football. George Kittle is greatness. I will not deny that. And I am a Seahawks fan. That guy is a monster and he's a ton of fun to watch. And going to NFL stadiums, I'm with you. So now I'll have to count how many I've been to, but the question is, you said you've been to three, which three have you been to? So this will be your third. I'm sorry. You said this will be your third. So you've only been to two.
This will be three.
Can I make my guess? I'm going to say you've been to, what is it, Lumen Field now, but Seahawks, and I assume you've been to Lucas Oil?
Yes, those are the two.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Those are the two. And the one thing I would like to do, too, just as like kind of like a cake topper, if it were,
sure.
I would love to go to the NFL Combine at Lucas Oil.
Oh, interesting.
In the offseason. I would enjoy the event that is the Combine. I think that's really cool, actually.
So you like the players, and you'd like them more in their underwear.
See, when you go, that's not what was stated. You're watching skill, and they need to be aerodynamic. Like, that's like we're crossing lines.
I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to place where you're at. So one of the things that I will say, and if what I heard, as far as conversations around this stadium, I don't think it's going to be there much longer. We went to watch a Bears-Lions game. Same thing as you, not a fan of either team, but my wife found insanely cheap tickets to Chicago. My brother loved the 85 Bears, where he still fancies himself a Bears fan, even though he wears Seahawks gear all the time and roots for the Seahawks. But so my brother and I and our wives, we all went to watch the Lions-Bears at Soldier Field this year.
Okay.
Soldier Field is insane. So if I don't know how much you know about it, but the original Soldier Field is an old concrete stadium that was built in like the, you know, 1910s or whatever, and it was built for gladiator fights. It was like man wrestles bear in front of 100,000 people in Chicago, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. Really cool stadium, but it wasn't ever built for football. So they kind of built another stadium inside of this giant old concrete bowl. So you've got a new, more modern football stadium inside of the old stadium, but they just bought a big piece of land up where the Arlington Park racetrack used to be. So they're going to be building a new stadium in Chicago, I would guess, in the next 5 years. I can't say for sure. But all of the conversation when we were there was about that, because they had just bought the property. So all sports talk in all of Chicago was saying that they're moving, that the relationship is untenable between them. So if you're going to make your list from this point on, I would go, what stadiums are the next one to be gone? And I would say Chicago.
I think that that's a very solid statement right there.
That's what I'm here for.
I like that. I like that, because that, like, there are those iconic fields that you would want to see, right?
Yep.
In particular, with the team that is supposed to be on the field.
Sure.
Like, I think, like, okay, like, I don't think I'd really, like, I could go watch the Beavers, you know, in a bowl game and see that stadium down in L.A. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I don't have to see the Chargers or the Rams, but going to the state now, but Soldier Field, you want to watch the Bears. Like, that's what you're going to go do.
Totally.
You're going to go watch the Bears at Soldier Field. That's like, but what I like about the stadiums is really the entertainment of what they are, right? The structure of what they are is awesome, but they're all just built around entertainment, and I love that idea.
Yeah.
Like, when we went to Lucas Oil, they have the ability, like, they had a full band amphitheater just at the east end of the field. It's insane.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, it's completely wild, because, I mean, the first NFL stadium that I ever went to was the Kingdome. Mm-hmm. And then I've been to the Coliseum, which no longer has a team, the Oakland Coliseum. I mean, I guess they still have the A's, but they are no longer playing football there. I went to old Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego 100 years ago when the Chargers used to play there. I went to Monster Park, no longer there, or I guess Candlestick Park. So I've been to four now retired NFL stadiums. Also Arizona, the new stadium in Seattle, Soldier Field. I'm trying to think if there's any more. I think that's it for NFL stadiums for me. But yeah, so I've only been to three modern stadiums, and I use moderns with air quotes on the on an audio conversation. But that one will be rebuilt anyway, so then I'll have to go back to Chicago and go to a new one. So it's mm-hmm. hard to keep up with stadiums. So that was my only point. Is it's fun, but baseball stadiums, man, that's another thing that's pretty cool going around
the
house. But
we've only been to one of those, two of those.
Which two?
Two. Safeco and the original, what was the one, the name of the one for the Cardinals in St. Louis before they built their new one?
Oh, Busch.
Busch Stadium.
Yeah.
Been to that one. And those are the only two major league games I've ever seen.
Yeah, Major League Baseball, I think it's kind of same thing, though. It's like, yeah, you're sitting there for entertainment. Entertain me, folks.
Yep.
So I've talked to a couple of people that have been to the new Raiders Stadium, the Allegiant Stadium. I have a buddy mm-hmm. that's been for a concert. I know two people that have gone for football games. It's supposed to be insane.
Yeah, so coincidentally, my parents went to the Pac-12 championship 2 weekends ago.
Oh, nice.
Down at the new Las Vegas Raiders Stadium.
I hope they're rooting for Utah.
I don't know who they were. Like, they weren't rooting for Oregon.
Okay.
I believe that. But they went. But they had purchased the tickets before Oregon State and Oregon played to go to decide who was going to go or potentially go, because it was still going to be Washington State at that point. But they even purchased it before that. And my dad, all he did was he sent me a photo of the inside of the stadium. He's like, this place is insane.
Yeah.
That's all he wrote. I was like, I bet.
Absolutely. We went to the first NFL game at the Cardinal Stadium in Arizona when they built that thing. And that place is nuts. But they were also just showing how the technology they put into it. I don't know if you know this about the stadium down there. They've got like a million wheels underneath the field. So it's a grass stadium, but it's in a dome. So the field rolls out into the sun, and then they seed it and water it and do everything there, and then they roll it in when they play the games. It's absolutely wild, but they kind of showed the whole video of how they built it and did everything. So they had this big presentation before the thing. So, and then one year we won tickets. So we went to a 49ers game. My wife's a 49ers fan, and we used to go for years. We went to the Seahawks game and the 49ers game in Seattle and in San Francisco. And when we were first married or dating or whatever. And so we did that like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years in a row. But one of the games we put in like the Visa contest to win field tickets for the last game of the year. And we won them. So we got to sit in the old dugouts at Candlestick on the field watching the Cardinals 49ers final game of the season. It was pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Because the old stadium, the funny thing is, as cool as the new stadiums are, it's like just knowing how, I don't want to say terrible the old stadiums were, but how different the old stadiums mm-hmm. were built, because they were all multi-use. Candlestick, Kingdome, Coliseum, mm-hmm. Jack Murphy, those were all baseball and football stadiums. So it's funny to see them. But yeah, the old dugout was where the 49ers came through. They still have the dugout, but they took the benches out. And that was our buffet line for our VIP area.
Certainly. Well, and I think that even that concept, right, of stadiums being multi-use back then, it speaks more volumes to the concept of, we always say America's pastime is baseball, right? Well, it's certainly changing. It changes over time as NFL becomes a more popular sport, or if it is more popular. Does it get more views these days? It probably does.
Who's that? NFL?
The NFL.
Oh, NFL makes more money, has more viewers. If you look at like the top 20 ratings every year for television, they're all NFL games. And like every once in a while, something will pop in. Like if there's like a major news event or a political election or something like that, a debate will sneak in there every once in a while. The Oscars might sneak in there sometimes. But that's into the top 20. Like the, it's like Super Bowl, then it's the all the playoff games, then it's, you know. But yeah, those broadcasts.
Division rival stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you get it. Well, and there's games like this year's Patriots-Buccaneers game or whatever might pop up there. But yeah, usually it's all NFL playoff games, and then everything else kind of sneaks in behind that. But yeah, if you get like if the Cowboys are good, a Cowboys game might jump up every once in a while because they have so many fans. But
yeah.
It's
America's
wild.
Team.
Yeah, well, I'm reading Vince Lombardi, the Vince Lombardi biography, and it's just getting into him starting with the Packers. And before that, he was an assistant coach for the Giants, but they talked about the 1959 NFL championship game between the Giants and the Colts, which to the time was the greatest NFL game ever played. It was the first game that they ever had sudden death overtime and needed it. And so they're just talking about how it get 10 million viewers for that game. And of course, the signal went out because the fans got so rowdy that they like kicked over the transmitter or whatever.
Yeah.
So they lost like 2.5 minutes at the end of overtime right before the Colts scored like the go-ahead touchdown. So, yeah, absolute trip to kind of go back through NFL history and kind of get a beat on what was going on back then. But yeah, Vince Lombardi going into Green Bay is very interesting.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I bet that's a good book, a good read. I bet that's a good one.
All right, Ben. So you said that you want to talk about how to 2022. What the hell does that mean?
I keep seeing this meme pop up, and it's like, you know, the concept is nobody's going to walk into this year, into 2022, saying that this is my year. We're going to walk in slow. We're going to be quiet. We're not going to touch anything, right? And we're just going to see how it goes. And it's an interesting concept, I think, because I do believe that concept comes from the idea that the last couple of years have been kind of like, holy crap, what's going on now?
Yeah.
Like this last year with the paint shortage and everything else, I thought, you know, I was ready to gear up for, you know, a pretty slick year. And then we get hit with paint shortage stuff. And I was like, what is happening? This is insane.
Yeah. Well, so 2020... My boss here came in and said, hey, 2020 is going to be your year. And I know a few people that had that pegged as this is going to be my year. And here's the funny thing. So, you know, I do on air and I do sales here at Odyssey Portland. And we had our sales reports, and it's all based on like what your projected quota is, and all these like behind the scenes metrics that aren't necessarily just sales volume, but there's a lot of metrics that they do. They call them the metrics that matter. And they had a calculation system set up that you were ranked on these metrics, and they did it nationwide. And on March 4th, they sent out the first report going, hey, here's the metrics that we're measuring everything by this year, and here's the rank of the salespeople. And I was number one in the entire company. There's like 700 salespeople. And I was number one. And my market manager, the vice president for Portland, comes over, and she's just like, this is amazing. We're going to kill it. Da, da, da. And a week and a half later, they shut down the NBA, and the following Monday, they canceled the world. And we thought it was going to be 3 weeks and we were going to bounce back. So I think you're right. I think what happened in 2020 was however the year started for you, wherever you were at, the reset button was hit for everybody, right?
Across the board.
But
absolutely.
2020 had all right, if we all work together through the summer, at least, we can get through this. And it kind of drug on a little bit. Then we got into the election cycle, and the year ended on a huge downer because you had the spikes, the election, all of that. So we went into 2021 going, well, it can't be worse than it was last year. That was kind of how we walked into 2021, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And then it was worse. And I think the reason that this year was so much worse than 2020 is you didn't have that collective group think where it was like, hey, we're all in this together. We're, you know, we can get through this if we band together. There was some optimism in there. What happened, I think, this year is there was a fracturing of ideologies where if you're not with me, you're against me. You mentioned the paint shortage, but there was, I mean, manufacturing shortages across the board, service shortages. So people that are even in the hospitality industry or in the people business, there's people shortages at all these businesses. There's, you know, people that are taking too much from the federal government, stimulus packages, and there's people that are taking too little. There's,
Well, and then some of those people that were laid off, right? What they did was they became independent contractors. They they went back to work, but they're working for themselves. They started their own little business, and they're still doing some of those same functions, but they're doing it in a different capacity. And so these all these companies, they are in a labor shortage, but it's interesting because we get employment, you know. There's jobs that are being filled constantly. So.
But you're right. There are jobs being created by it too that, that didn't exist. Absolutely. And there's people working in roles that they never thought they would because their hand was forced. So I mean but I just think it was a lot of people had no choice but to start to worry about themselves. And that was in 2020. And they, you know, the things they never really thought of, like nobody thought that jobs would just completely go away or industries would just completely go away for 6, 7, 8 months. And then you come back and you just go, all right, well, I have to make something work. And so people were kind of forced to be selfish. And then you roll into 2021 and now everybody's choosing to be selfish because it worked out pretty damn well. Like that's how I survived 2020. And then you add on top of that, though, that there are these stimulus checks and there is this quote unquote free money that's out there that people are getting to kind of make ends meet. But the problem is if you give somebody, you know, a $600 stimulus check, they're going to use it to get by. You give it to somebody else, they're going to use it to buy a season pass and their new job is snowboarding all year. So it's two very different ways to do the same thing. And so what it does is it puts people in these camps where even if they're both right, and I think there's always some aspect of that, whatever you do for yourself that gets you by is probably the right choice. But if you start looking outward at everybody else and seeing the choices that you make and you see how different than they are than the ones that you've made, then you start getting this huge fracture. And I think that's what 2021 was.
Yeah. So the question becomes, right, how do we enter 2022? Because I'm an optimistic guy.
Sure.
Right? Like, that's just what I do. I can't enter 20. And so for me personally, it's been the ability to find my peace on my own.
Yeah.
Right. And I've done that through the meditation side of things. And it's been great. It's been absolutely fantastic. I encourage all to do it. It's been so fun because you just take a few minutes and just breathe.
Yep.
Just breathe. Cause it, you know, So often we do look to the future and we look at the doom and the gloom of what it could be. And it's tough, right? Because even a couple of days ago, I had a meeting with Sherwin-Williams about paint prices that are going to go up moving into 2022. That's another hard pill to swallow.
Yep.
You know, nobody wants to do that. Do I understand where it's coming from? Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand where it's coming from. And I understand everybody needs to make money. So moving into 22, for me, it's going to be, and this is going to sound that selfish way, but it's going to be self-growth, personal growth, kind of keeping to myself and saying, okay, this is how I want to do it. And if that's okay. And everybody else can go do them too. That's fine. I don't mind it.
See, but I think you've hit on the mentality. I mean, I don't think you need to apologize for being selfish. I mean, the first thing you should take care of is yourself. And then your family. I mean, I think that should be the order, right? And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people that, especially in earlier generations, sacrifice themselves for their family, which, you know, the more and more you read about it, the more it's proven to be a mistake because If you're healthy and you're available and you're happy, you're going to be a better parent, a better brother, a brother, better sister, mm-hmm. a better mom, kid, better whatever.
Friend.
So take care of yourself, and then you can be all the things that you need to be for your family. So that should be the first thing. I don't think the problem, and I know I use the word selfish, and I don't think the problem was that people had to be selfish. I think the problem in 2021 was everybody was worried about what everybody else was doing. So, you know what I mean? Like, and we can go back and listen to this, and I may have misspoke, but I think the bigger problem, and I think the solution to 2021 is go into 2022 with that attitude going, all right, I kind of know what I need to do to take care of myself. If I survived the last 2 years, I'm going to do that. If everybody's a little bit more worried about themselves and a little less worried about everybody else, I think that's where the benefit will start to show of going through a global crisis together. Like, if you don't have turmoil, if you don't have ups and downs, I say this all the time to my wife, you know, about our kids. It's like, if we were perfect parents, we would be doing our kids a disservice because they'd never have to get through any adversity. And then they go out into the real world and they're screwed. So I think you have to go through some adversity and you have to go through it. And the idea that we all went through the same thing the last 2 years is misguided. Yes, the source of most people's problems and challenges over the last years were caused by the same thing.
Yep.
But the challenges were completely different. The painting industry is completely different than the radio industry, which is completely different than, you know, restaurants or NASA or whoever, right? It's
absolutely healthcare. Across the board, right?
Anybody, you pick any industry, everybody faced challenges, and some industries that were in a boom cycle because of it are going to end up having to, you know, deal with repercussions down the road. So even boom businesses, alcohol is a perfect example where, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, they lost almost all of their revenue from restaurants and bars. But people mm-hmm. started going to grocery stores and buying a lot more. So in that industry right there, you saw boom and bust, where half of their mm-hmm. business, which is the face-to-face side of it, where the relationships between the distributors and the manufacturers and the restaurants, those are a lot more tangible than the ones between the customer that ends up going to, you know, buy a 30-pack in the grocery store. Those are a lot more transactional versus having, you know, that actual – Like, hey, you know, it would be great for this coming weekend is we'd love to be on draft at your bar because we've got the Super Bowl coming up. That's a little bit more personal. At the grocery stores, you always want to be in there. But an industry like that where it's boom and bust at the exact same time is wild to think about. So
certainly.
So now if we can all just get over the bunch of freeloaders that are doing this, or the people that are making it difficult for, you know, the out of work, or the this faction is making it more difficult for that, and it would be a lot easier if everybody would just do that. Screw that. Just figure out what's right for you. Put yourself on the right path to happiness. Stop worrying about what your neighbors are doing, what your friends and family are doing. Man, take care of yourself so you can take care of others. That should be the mantra for 2022.
I like that. On that, and let's continue. So then for me, right, when we talk about that idea of taking care of ourselves, I always look to goals, right? Like I this is that time of year, right at the end of the painting season in the fall, moving into the winter. And then by the time we get to February, and I know you know this about me because we've done work business stuff for a couple of years now, you know that this is how I operate. So it's how I create my budget. It's how everything works, right? So I'm in this process right now of going through my goal setting for 22, right? Yeah. Where these are the things I want to accomplish. Now, there's business things I want to accomplish, of course. There's personal growth items that I want to accomplish. And for me in particular, and I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but a lot, and maybe it's just because I've done this social media thing, and that's, you know, the box that is kind of wrapped up in it. But a lot of my personal growth things are starting to merge with business, right?
Mm, yeah.
And when I speak to that, I'm going to start talking about that foundation, you know, where I truly get happiness. My true happiness comes from the service of others, right? We're doing service for others. So for 22, one of my goals is is to affect other people in a positive way through service. And I've got a handful of things that, you know, we're going to try and test and go through those things. And it's fun to go through them and digest them and brainstorm them. But I also, continue to remind myself that you got to give yourself grace, because we don't know what's coming in 22. Don't sit there and tell yourself that all of these things have to happen. These things might change.
Yep.
You know, 2-3 months from now, the game could change. We need to readjust those things. And that's okay. I think so often we use January 1st, to create our resolutions. It's just silly. I always find that part silly, because you're going to change throughout the year. To set a resolution is sometimes an unrealistic goal, right? It's not the step that necessarily needs to be taken. It's the mentality, maybe. It might be the mentality that needs to be taken, but the goal seems to sometimes be misguided around that. So for me, though, the work and personal goals are being set, and I like writing them down. But I also find that I have these ones that I don't always write down, and they're just always in my space. There are things that I think about that I want to do. Does that make sense?
It does.
Does anybody do that?
Well, yeah, I think everybody does that, where the things that linger. But sometimes there's just that experience of just putting them down on paper that mm-hmm. makes them real.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of takes away some of the whimsy of it, too. So it's like it's almost like you like having them hang there. Like, mm-hmm. I get this, right, where the idea pops in your head and you just kind of let it float. But the problem is those eventually kind of dissolve away. And maybe they'll come back and hit you again. But the ones that you write down, it's funny, because you don't necessarily, at least for me, like putting together the SMART goal, the specific, measurable, attributable, whatever the acronym mm-hmm. is, putting those down is very different than, I don't like resolutions either. I guess that's not right, the right thing. But it's going here is where I would like to end up, and putting that just an end goal, and go, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but this is what I want to do. I mean, you talk about that foundation. You want to give back to the community that's helped you build your business. And mm-hmm. that, to me, is always one of those goals. But writing down the steps to get there, have you ever put a foundation together?
No, right?
And yeah.
Exactly.
So it's writing down the so often the mistake that we make, and I've made this a million times, and I still make it today. So, having this conversation is helpful. But putting down the first step to get to something that is a mile away is like start taking the first step in a journey that you don't know where you're going. It's like, all right, like you're driving to San Francisco right now without a map. How the hell do you know you're going to get there? And if you've never been before, like if you just know that it's south, it's very different than having like those step-by-step instructions. But so rarely do we actually have, without getting help, the actual instructions to get there. And we ask Google now, or we consult a map. That's help. So, mm-hmm. The idea that we can just go blind and go, oh, I know it's south. Good luck getting to San Francisco. That's the Lewis and Clark version of going west. That's the
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know what's out there, but we're just going to walk until we run into, a mountain that's too big or an ocean that's too deep. And that's our goal. So you have a general idea of where you're going, but that's how we are with these things. So the thing is, figure out where you want to get to. And figure out who can help you along the way, instead of going, all right, well, I think this is the first step that I need to make. And sure. That's where I've always had a hard time asking for help, but that's always one of it's not even a goal necessarily. It's kind of a mantra for this year. It's like, all right, I'm gonna make sure that I ask for help quicker and fail faster.
Absolutely.
And then figure out
fail
where I need to get to.
It.
So those are the things for me, is just going, all right, what's my mentality shift for this year? So, and I've already said it, going into 2022, I'm going to worry about other people less often. That's the number one thing. I'm going to focus on stuff that I can control, which is you, right? You can control what you do and how you act and how you behave in certain situations. So number one, worry about other people less. Number two is ask for help more often and then fail faster. I think those are my three, and I haven't written them down yet, but now that we've had this conversation, I feel like I have to.
I think that those are good ones too. And for so, and I'm going to build on what you're talking about with the concept of support, right?
Yeah.
I think so often, we get afraid to ask for the help that might be required, yep. and we use that as a shield to us taking a better step forward. Meaning that the fear we have of what that person might be able to do for us is actually an inhibitor in our ego to say, I don't want to do that because it's the unknown, right? I don't know what will come after that. And I will go back to this over and over again, and I use this example often. I have a CPA, and her name is Christy. She's an awesome human being. We work very well together. We've never met physically in person because she is on the East Coast. And without her in this entire last 2 years, I'm going to say all 2 years,
okay.
I would not be where I'm at without her very specific support. And I mean going through the COVID stuff, right?
Yep.
Running a business in the pandemic. Like there, if I didn't know kind of what was coming or how to digest the federal jargon that was coming out around, you know, the opportunities for businesses and the help that was going to be provided, I don't believe that box painting survives 2020. I think that we have a much harder year. And then moving into 2021, it was, I knew that I wanted to grow, and that's what I took to Christy, right? I took that concept to Christy and said, this is what I want to do. I need you to tell me if I'm how to start facilitating that, right? And so much of it has been like her and I working through these things, but it's been a really neat experience. And then as along the way, you start picking up other people that are going to help you, mm-hmm. right? And I think so often, human beings, we will look at other people that critique us as a negative, and we shy away from those people as opportunities to help us grow. If people are delivering constructive criticism to you in a respectful way, I would take that advice all the time. And, yeah. and being able to recognize it is so can get so shadowed, I guess is the word I'm going to use. But you lose sight of it because your ego steps in front and says, well, I need to be defensive and X, Y, and Z. But we have, you know, there's things that I didn't do right business-wise in the last couple of years, and we could have done things better. And being able to suck that up and be okay with it and say, okay, this is what I need to change then, that's a positive thing. You're not going to have success at every step. There will be missteps that happen, and that's okay. But surround yourself with the support, and then tell those people what you're doing.
Yep.
Tell those people your plan, because they're the ones that are going to hold you accountable and say, so how far along are you on this? Right?
Yep.
Like that, they're going to be the ones that ask you those questions down the road, and you're going to, like, I believe in the concept that they're going to be that conscience that's going to force you to answer to yourself what you wanted to get done now, right? It's big talk right now to say what I want to do in 22, right? But those people down the road are going to be the ones that are going to help you facilitate that. So I agree with you, yeah. Luke. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I think absolutely so often we get these Cliff Notes versions of achievements, right? Where mm-hmm. more and more, and this is the one of the fundamental things that bothers me about social media, is you get these tiny little clips. And if they're just for entertainment, that's perfectly fine. Like if you can entertain me in 10 seconds versus 2 minutes, then sure, you've saved me some time. And I get a smile, whatever. But the problem is that media outlets and journalism is now distilled down to a headline or, you know, just a 10-second clip of telling you what happened. And this is something that's been going on forever. It's, you know, it's movies are shorter than books and pamphlets are shorter than brochures or whatever. And you just shrink down the amount of information that you get. But I think one of the first things that we do is we just distill it down to these great achievements that people have. And the first thing you trim away is all of the people that helped somebody get to it, right? Like, you know, pick your favorite, you know, Peyton Manning is your favorite quarterback, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, look at all the help that that guy got from the day that he was born. His dad, first of all, his dad was an NFL quarterback. So right there, like, he's already leaps and bounds ahead of you or I to be professional quarterback. And then you think of all of the resources that were lent to it, having brothers that played the sport growing up and doing all that. And then, you know, you go back and look at the coaches that he had playing with Tony Dungy, doing all of that. But if you just take the Cliff Notes version of that, you look at his statistics and go, this is what Peyton Manning did. Oh, my God, he was the greatest. And then we forget about, you know, oh, yeah, there was an offensive line in front of him. He had some pretty damn good wide receivers. They had a decent running game. When they won the Super Bowl, how good was the defense? So I think sports is an easy metaphor to look at it. But this is what we do is we go and we argue who was the GOAT. Mm-hmm. Who was the greatest of all time? Not who was put in the best situation of all time. Not who had the best support system around them the whole time. We go, who was the greatest? So then you get all these Cliff Notes versions of greatness around you, and you just have these people were great. Then you hold yourself to some ridiculous standard that doesn't exist, where if I go out and play high school wide receiver and I'm not Jerry Rice, then all of a sudden I'm a failure at what I did. So you talk about the ego, but man, we beat ourselves up so much comparing ourselves to people that don't exist. You know, you look at the most successful person in your industry and just go, all right, how do I get to be that person? And if I don't, then I failed. And we build these straw men that we have to, you know, get to, or we create these resolutions where we go, all right, what's the perfect version of myself? And then you somehow compete against that who's completely artificial. You go, all right, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and I'm going to run a marathon and I'm going to make, you know, an extra $50,000 this year. And then you get to March and you're like, oh, I've actually gained weight and I still haven't run anywhere yet. And I lost an account and now I'm, you know, struggling with that. And then you very quickly just go, I'm never going to be the person that I want to be. Where the real goal should be to create a more resilient self. And where you get to that point and you just go, all right, perfect. Good thing I did all that prep for when the cards are down, where now I can get up and actually go and kick a little bit of ass.
Absolutely.
Jeez, this is very self-helpy, Ben.
It is. I think it's a good note to close on for the end of your podcast, though. I think it's a solid conversation all the way around.
Well, fantastic. Well, I will tell you, you know, we don't need to get into the details, but you and I have had some conversations about 2022 that I'm excited about. So I'm excited for everything that you have going on. You know, just looking forward, the family and the kids getting another year older is always a great measuring stick as a parent to look into next year. So I know both professionally and personally, you've got some things to look forward to. So I will end this by saying I wish you the very best 2022 that you can possibly have, my friend. And I look forward to continuing this podcast and our friendship.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Luke. It's, you know, just the last 2 years that we've known each other, it's been a lot of fun. It's a neat business relationship and friendship that's just kind of just through likeness. You know what I mean? Even, I mean, I think I've told you this. I sitting with an individual that did sales for digital media companies was not uncommon for me 2-3 years ago. There were multiple outlets that attempted to sit with me, but when I met with you, there was just that, like, I can chat with this guy. You know what I mean? It was always, I could just have a conversation with you, and it never felt, like a presentation, I guess is the way I would say it. So, no, I think in what we're going to do having fun going forward is just, I'm so excited about. Podcast will continue and we're going to have some fun this year. There's no doubt about it.
All right.
I'm excited.
Well, fantastic. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody listening to this podcast. If you want more, there are more how-to podcasts. Just go on to Odyssey or app or odyssey.com and you can find more episodes of it. We'll continue to make new at minimum once a month. And we'll see if that either expands or contracts depending on the occasions that come up. But I know there's good things ahead. So be sure to listen to those. Thanks for listening to those podcasts. Have a wonderful 2022.